Hi, this is Stephen Laddick.
And I'm Kent McPhail. Welcome to What the M,
the podcast about the mortgage default servicing industry.
What the M is a bi-weekly podcast with new episodes dropping every other Friday.
Steve, how are you doing today?
As usual, could not be any better.
I love it. Different day, same answer. I love it. So the theme of today's show is we're going to be talking about the loan guarantee program of the Veterans Benefits Administration. And we have a special guest today who is uniquely qualified to address these topics. Our guest today is a veteran of the U.S. Navy who served during Operation Restore Hope in the Gulf War. After this, he attended Lambeth University, where he was recruited by a national lender to work in the mortgage industry. After that point, he worked for approximately 20 years in various management roles in banking in the mortgage world. Around 2010, he transitioned to the Department of Veterans Affairs, where he now holds the position of Executive Director of the Loan Guarantee Service of the Veterans Benefits Administration. Please welcome to the show, Mr. John Bell.
Kent, thank you so much. Stephen, thank you so much for having me.
John, again, thank you. We truly appreciate you being here. And let's just jump right in. You have been in the role of executive director since June of 2022. How has that transition been for you? And what does a day in the life of John Bell look like at the Veterans Administration? I'm sure it's busy.
Well, you know, when I came to VA, a funny story is the previous director here, actually two previous directors ago, recruited me in, and he told me, John, you have no work-life balance. Come to the government. You'll get, you know, you can have that work-life balance and spend time with your family. And you know what? I still haven't found what he meant by work-life balance. So my day in the life, it's always on. I try to make myself as accessible as I can. So social media and LinkedIn and, you know, my regular email. So it's always on.
So, John, in preparing for the show today, I guess a couple of things. One, I'm very impressed by how much you guys are out there now on social media, utilizing YouTube and on several other podcasts. And I got a whole lot of interesting information. A couple of things that I thought were particularly interesting. You had referenced how the VA had taken the VA benefit, loan benefit from a last choice from that standpoint to an industry alternative of choice. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you guys accomplished that and the mindset behind that under your leadership?
Yeah, I think first and great question. Thank you. I think first and foremost was transparency, was getting in communication, getting the message out, looking at processes and listening to our external stakeholders that are providing the benefit to veterans and saying, what do you need to help progress this program? Because when I came on board, and I've utilized this program five different times in my life, and to be honest with you, I wouldn't have been able to own a home at some of those points in time without the VA program. So I'm very passionate about this program first and foremost. But what I saw was, you know, kind of like that father's VA loan, where people thought that it took, 60 days, 90 days to close a VA loan. And basically you had to stand on one foot and sign 1700 pages and hope that you got, an appraisal that came back, that satisfied your need. And, that it was just very difficult. And we've kind of broken down those things individually. First, we had eligibility. We took eligibility. It was taking 30 business days to issue an eligibility back between 2008 and 2010. Now, 82% of veterans, immediately when the lender hits, are you eligible for a loan, they're getting an instantaneous response, for eligibility. And then if we have to review that additional 18%, if we have to review it, we're turning those around in less than 36 hours. By fixing that piece, then we moved on to appraisal. We've taken appraisal timelines and taken it from 18 and a half business days down to 7.5 business days, from appraisal order to delivery, which is tremendous for the industry. We've also done a lot from a communication standpoint on trying to be out there for veterans, for realtors, for real estate agents, doing podcasts with them, so that they can understand and provide the benefit to veterans and to push our program.
That's fantastic. Yeah, as Kent mentioned, I was on the website too, and just the amount of information you have available is fantastic, and it's easily accessible to follow the loan programs and the eligibility. Well, here we are in 2023. It is a new year, and everyone has their eye on an economic forecast, and everyone's talking about a post-COVID economy. Everyone's talking about inflation and interest rates going up. As we enter this new year, what do you see as challenges for the VA loan guarantee program as we go into 2023?
So we'll get to the market here in a little bit, I'm sure. So let's just talk about right now what the challenges are. So the first challenge is that we knew in COVID that we had to find relief quick for our veterans. So we stood up a partial claim program at that particular time to be able to help servicers provide relief to borrowers when they most needed it. That was a temporary program that sunsetted on October 28th of last year. And since then, I'm working on, okay, what's the next round? Because we know that with rising interest rates, with appreciation at a halt as far as appreciating property values, we know that that's not moving northward. So we need a better way to help veterans. And so what we're working on is what can we do within the scope of what we already have from an administrative standpoint and what we used to call the VA refund. We are now working on how do we repackage that and provide relief back to veterans in doing so and the industry. So you can expect that sometime this year. And then the second piece is making sure that we're still competitive, because what we have seen is our veterans are competitive. If you take a look at the borrower characteristics of a veteran and you compare them to any other borrower out there, you see a 40% debt ratio. You see a 722 average credit score. You see a, even though we don't even have a current credit score requirement for the program, our veterans still have a 722 credit score. With the assets that have gone from an average of 28,000 to doubling that of 56,000 in assets. We see veterans actually making down payments, even though they don't have to. So a lot of positive progress. And then you throw in residual income, which is one thing that our program has and no one else has. And that's looking at the end of the day, what does the veteran have left after all expenses are paid? Because we know that it's just as important to keep a veteran in a home as it ever is to put them in one. So a lot of information I threw at you, but all of that speaks to we have to be out there for veterans because we know that they're ready to buy.
So, John, and again, prepping for the show today, it was clear that you were involved in implementing a lot of technology initiatives that transformed this whole process, and a lot of that you were just addressing. And a lot of that, I think, was on the loan production side. I want to share a quote with you from one of my resources that I was asking to help me prepare again for the show today or the podcast. The quote was that John Bell is the most innovative person that has been at the VA in the last 40 years and the best government hire in the last 40 years. So anyway, for whatever it's worth, you obviously are making some strong impressions on some people that I have a great deal of respect for in the industry. The follow-up question that he had was, a lot of that technology has been driven towards the loan production side and access and making the front end happen. The question that he had was, are there similar or additional improvements on the horizon for Valerie? And Valerie, for those who don't know, is the VA loan electronic reporting interface, which servicers use to report back to the VA. But anyway, what's on the horizon relating to Valerie as it relates to our listeners?
I love that question. And look, we have to look at things differently and moving forward with technology. You've got a program here that has gone from 1% market share to 13% market share in less than 10 years. You have rarely ever seen that in the history of the mortgage business. So we have to make sure that we are readily prepared for what that means. So, you know, we've got 3.7 million active loans on our books in our portfolio. We have to make sure that veterans, no matter what happens from a financial standpoint, that we're able to get in early and fast and give them options so that they don't get 60, 90, 120 days behind, because there just aren't a lot of opportunities for them to catch up. And so in doing that, you have to make sure that you're building a process that speaks holistically from beginning to end. So what decisions are you making on the front part of your program, taking into consideration climate and social governance and all those type of things, then turning that back around? Okay, what if disaster happens? What if issues, what if plants close down in certain areas? You know, what are the things that VA can do to get into those households earlier in the process so that we help veterans stave off, you know, foreclosure at the end of the day, if we can prove that they can still make that payment? That's what we're tracking towards. So we're tracking towards removing the UIs, you know, from external stakeholders where they're sending us information back and forth through APIs. We're taking that data, putting it into our workflows, and then giving them back information so that they know how they are performing versus everyone else that is originating or servicing a VA loan. Because we think if we do that, then it's going to show, you know, it's going to show other organizations what they could be doing that they're not doing now to help our veterans. So it's about transparency, communication, data analytics. That's the way to go. And that's where we're tracking.
Excellent. Obviously, a lot of our listeners are in the mortgage servicing community. And one of the questions that they came up and posed to us while we were preparing for this show was, are there improvements from a technology or staffing standpoint at the VA to address potential backlogs and reimbursements to servicers on the COVID loss mitigation programs?
Ooh, throw me a tough one here. But look, I am so proud of our staff right now, because I would tell you, if you asked me this question even before the holiday, if you asked me this question on December 1, we have cut in half the number of accounts that need to be reimbursed in that time frame. So we've gone from sunsetting of PC, a partial claim, to having a number that, you know, let's say the number 16,000 accounts that needed to be reimbursed, right? We've gone in half that in that short amount of time. We are on track to completely have that work down in the next 2 to 3 months. So I am very proud of our staff. That is without technology enhancements, by the way. That is just pure work on behalf of our staff, prioritizing where we need that staff focusing, and making sure that we're delivering that back to our servicers. I get it. I hear them. I also can't ignore the fact that they also need additional help. And I have to have staff that's working on that additional help. So I can't pull everybody and say, let's only work on partial claim reimbursement, because I still have those same people that need to be helping veterans make sure that they are saving off foreclosure. I have to make sure that servicers are doing what servicers need to be doing. And then I have to create a program, right, that will be the next partial claim program, but won't usurp the subsidy that VA has and can withstand the long-term budget impacts are brought upon the program.
Yeah, sound like you got a lot on your plate there for sure. So, you know, a number of the folks we've had on the show have really strong backgrounds in economics. And this question, you know, we typically ask folks, and I realize we're all basically reading tea leaves, but what do you feel like the economic outlook is for 23 and early 24? And what sort of challenges do you feel like that creates for the VA and the loan guarantee program?
Look, loss of value is the number one thing we should be worried about at this point in time. We can stave off from a 6% interest rate. We've done that. Like, we know we can still originate loans at 6% interest rate. Are we going to, is there going to be backlash from borrowers or from originators? And are we going to do as much volume because they're at 6% interest rates? Probably not, because we're not going to do refinances as much or as many refinances. But when you have interest rates going up and you have declining market value, that's what really spells trouble. And so we're really watching those areas that are having high depreciation percentages, because that's where you're going to see, you know, that's where we're worried about defaults. Because what options do veterans have? And once they get behind, what options do servicers have once they get behind to stave those to stave those issues off. So that's what concerns me the most. It's the value proposition.
Yeah, we're really in a unique situation where you've got the rising interest rates, you've got values that are tapering. At the same time, we have still been faced with a supply issue. And so I think that will improve as we go forward with the higher rates. But the competition for these homes, whether it's a VA buyer or a non-VA buyer, in all of those market conditions, it's an incredible challenge.
So, Kent, let me just, if you have just one more minute, let me.
Oh, all the time, it's yours.
Let me just peel back that onion one more second. So I testified in December of 2021 about the inconsistency and the unfairness of the bid process for our veterans. So at that particular time, what you were seeing, especially in that last 6 months up to that testimony, was you had a lot of cash investors that flooded the market. And those cash investors usurped a lot of the opportunities for FHA, VA buyers, because they weren't even getting their bids reviewed. They weren't even accepting their bids. And so now you see where we have only had a 25% decline in purchase volume. Where we're seeing a tremendous decline, of course, is in refinance volume. But in purchase volume, we've only seen a 25% decline. And why is that? Because now our veterans that, remember, we talked about being well-positioned to be able to purchase, our veterans are being able to win those homes if they're on the market. Whether or not they're far and fewer between, out there for market, they're still able to bid and they're winning some of those bids. So we are seeing some positive influences, especially in some of our markets across the country that they've now been able to take advantage.
I find it really interesting, and over time and having been involved in around real estate, that the term winning a bid is a thing. It didn't used to be so competitive, and now we're talking about winning. Yeah, what an interesting world. So, Steve?
Let's shift gears a little bit. One of the states I'm licensed to practice in is New Mexico. And as you know, New Mexico has a vast, vast size of tribal land. And one of the things that has been of particular interest to me is the VA's program for Native Americans and the Native American Direct Program. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Native American Direct Program and how that has that expanded in size? Has the area of lending expanded?
It's one of our major focuses right now. So the Native American Direct Loan Program started in 1992. It was a special pilot back then, because what we were seeing is banks were leaving the marketplace on tribal lands because they couldn't secure properties based upon the way properties were deeded. So we needed to step in as a government agency and start providing that opportunity for Native American veterans that wanted to live on tribal lands so they could still purchase homes on those tribal lands. Now, fast forward to 23. So it's been a program that has seen some success. It hasn't seen the growth that the guarantee has had. But since 2016, what we have seen are Native American veterans, our island veterans, our Alaskan Indian veterans, they've been taking advantage of the guarantee program. Whether or not they, because you can still use the guarantee program if you find a lender that will do a loan on tribal lands. So they're using the guarantee either on tribal lands or not. And they're able to utilize the Native American Direct Loan Program as an opportunity. So I look at those two collectively as to how can we progress Native American housing as a whole. And so what we're really trying to do is find out, one, some things that I've done since I became director. I've created a specialized unit that only focuses on Native American Direct Loans, so that you have one specialized group that's all they see all day long are Native American direct loans. And then they also do marketing and communication to tribal lands and to tribal leaders to make sure that we are enhancing and increasing our MOUs in those areas that need MOUs so that we can continue to do more and more of that business. On the other hand, I'm trying to make sure that we're telling the story of the guarantee so that Native American veterans know that they can use either or, and that the opportunities for them to be able to purchase either on tribal lands or off tribal lands, you know, we're serious about, and we want to continue to increase and see those increases as they come.
That's excellent. You've come to your role. You have two unique perspectives. I mean, first, you are a veteran. And second, you were in the private sector in the mortgage industry. What leadership skills from those two roles did you bring to this position?
Again, from the private sector, process improvement, right? Always be improving. Always be communicating. Always be recruiting. Those things ring true. From the military or the leadership aspect of things, it's that people matter. Listen to your staff, listen to those around you, listen to your stakeholders, internal, external. They have reasons they're contacting you. They have needs. And if you're not listening to them or communicating back and forth and being transparent, then it's a lost leader. So, certainly I try to do that every day. I get out from my office and go around. And even when I was, working virtually, I would contact people and just say, are you okay? Like, what's going on? What do you see? What's happening? Making those contacts each and every day is important.
That's tremendous. Kent?
So, John, this is the our last question we always toss up, and I'm always fascinated by the responses. But anyway, if you had the opportunity to sit down with the 20-year-old version of John Bell, what advice would you give that young man?
Wow, that's a great question. The 20-year-old version of me, I have always been a very passionate person. I've always been someone that that loved process and procedure. But I will tell you, if I was to have a conversation, with myself, I would say psychology and the reason why people make decisions. If you understand that the earlier you understand that in life, the more successful you're going to be, because everyone has something that they want out of a situation or that they need. Right. And someone is trying to figure out how does this either benefit something I believe in, or how does this, how does this benefit or a story that I can tell, that I feel passionate about. And I think if you find that out from the individuals that you are, that you are trying to do a project with or increase a percentage of sales or make a sale to, I think that I wish that I had learned that at an earlier age. And then the other thing, of course, is probably one thing that everyone says, and that's smell the roses along the way, right? Because, life is fleeting. And, if you're a fan of football and watch, Monday Night Football, that certainly played, before our very eyes on just how important life is. And one play can take that away at any given time. So, enjoy life while you have it, and enjoy what you do. So, and hopefully you hear that from me. I love Loan Guarantee. I love our veterans. I love serving. And I hope that we continue to progress this program.
That's tremendous. John, can't thank you enough for being a guest today.
Yeah, John, thank you for your accessibility, and thank you for your military service as well as your service to the Veterans Administration. It's very impressive that you've committed your life in this way, and we want to thank you again for that and for being here and being a guest. A lot of great information, and we hope to see you soon, and best of luck with all of your initiatives, and we appreciate you.
You as well. Thank you both so much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you like what you hear on our podcast and want to hear some more, please rate, review, and subscribe to What the M on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to visit with us on social media, we can be found at What the M Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.